a wife or a Pisces. But then the spice will go, mind. If you want the spice, you don't consider this passion. Okay. Erroneous perception. Normally, in every yoga book, a rope is normally thought of as a snake or something. Erroneous perception is everywhere. All of you use the word sky. There is no sky. Every one of us use, say, the sun is rising in the morning, the sun never rises. The sun sets in the evening, the sun never sets in the evening. All these are wrong perceptions because we are not seeing the correct mode. The earth is turning, so the sun is rising. And the earth is turning, and therefore the sun is setting. And because our eyes can see up to a limit in space, the gray of the atmosphere and the black of the space together become blue, and we call sky blue. All these are wrong perceptions, and like that there are 10,000 wrong perceptions, maybe more. You see? So wrong perception, erroneous perception, inability to achieve concentration. Inability achieve concentration. What is concentration? What is concentration? What is concentration? You need screws, a screwdriver to fix. And if you have no screws or screwdriver to fix your brain or mind, you can't fix it. The simple reason is that the enormous speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. The speed of thought is a million times faster. That means a few hundred thousand million thoughts pass through your mind, and you are supposed to concentrate on one thought. That means if you can concentrate for 1 second, that's a concentration. Because you avoided 100,000 million thoughts if you are on one thought for 1 second. And he said, oh, it's easy, for 1 second I can hold my mind, my brain or what not. And by the time we know we have gone to America and come back, you see, in that 1 second. So how to concentrate? That is one of the biggest hurdles, inability to achieve concentration. We need, as my friend here says, to fix our brain and mind. So we will need mental screws, mental screwdriver, or some adhesive to stick up, do something to fix our mind and brain for 1 second to achieve concentration. Because we will be achieving a very impossible task of having one thought for 1 second. As you are listening to me, your brain has gone and come back from somewhere. That is your mind. And you have to concentrate that mind, you see. When the teacher talks in the class, Johnny goes elsewhere. And then when teacher sees him and says, Johnny, say, he doesn't know, his mind was elsewhere, his ears were here, what's the use? So that 1 second of concentration is impossible. And people are sitting in dana and dhyana every morning or every evening for 1 hour. I will have to learn from them. Failure to hold the meditative attitude when achieved. If by chance or study or practice or labor you are achieved concentration of 1 second, tomorrow you may still not do it. And that means the day to day you do it. That means 365 minus 1 is 0. On that basis you do it. 1 second daily. Failure to hold the meditative attitude, then achieve. Even after achieving, you will fail day after day after day. With this, our present state, this is our present state, and we want to achieve something. We just cannot achieve by hearing. We just cannot achieve by philosophizing. We have to do something, and to do something means practices. To be able to set aside such obstacles and live a proper life is not spirituality. And after you have achieved concentration, don't think you have become spiritual. This body, this brain cannot become spiritual. I am not making a disheartening statement. But this body, this brain cannot become spiritual. What can become spiritual? The real you. Only the real you is spiritual. When we touch somebody's feet out of respect, we touch the real you that we see in that person. You see, somebody who has achieved something, done something, you know. We are not touching that person. We are touching that real you behind that person. See, the real you is spiritual. All else is nothing. So all this is practices. There is nothing spiritual about even achieving all this. To be able to set aside such obstacles and live a proper life is not spirituality. It is merely to live the human way. And we have been living the animal way so far. But we are at present unaware of this human way. To exercise control, to live life the human way, means presence within of such that is below human level. Is that clear? To exercise control, to live life the human way, means the presence within of much that is below human level. To live without control is bad. To live with control is also not good, if not bad. Because when you control yourself, then there is something to be controlled. To be controlled means some weakness to be controlled. So even if you can live a good life with control, you have achieved nothing. You are not free from certain weaknesses. You must be free from such weaknesses so that you don't have to control. Life and actions must flow rhythmically. Book 132 says, to overcome the obstacles and the accompaniments, the intense application of will to some one truth or principle is required. Will is not will that we have a wrong definition in our mind. Will means intense, unbroken efforts. Will is not willpower. Will here means intense, unbroken efforts. What does it say? To overcome the obstacles and the accompaniment, application should be to one truth. In the material world, we have a target. In the business world, people have a target. They say, our sales must reach so much this time. You see, everywhere in life there is a target. And we try to achieve that target. Isn't it? Now, here what is meant is, one truth must be before our eyes. What is that one truth? That target? I must know the real you. You get? There must be one truth. You see, unless that is the target, what will we do? What are we struggling for? Unless we have a target. And the target he calls truth. If you have something to achieve, some truth to achieve, the truth to achieve is nothing else but to know the real you. If that is the target, if that truth is to be known, then your efforts will become, what does he say? Intense, unbroken efforts. You see, in the material world it is called obsession. Obsession in the material world. Here also you will have that obsession to struggle, putting your thoughts as long as you don't realize the real you. So let the real you be the target, the truth that you want to know. What is this one truth? The truth is that this external physical body and brain actually forms a covering and thus hiding from view some higher possibility or state of being. What is this higher possibility or state of being? How can we achieve this? This is only yoga. This paragraph is yoga. Now, the truth is that this external physical body and brain actually forms a covering, thus hiding from view some higher possibility or state of being. The higher possibility or state of being is the real you. Book 134 says, the peace of the chitta is also brought about by regulations of prana or life breath. Patanjali wants to say in short that he has a doubt about your breathing. That your thinking is wrong, your breathing is wrong, your eating is wrong, your sleeping is wrong. And then what is right, I don't know. See, this is what he is telling us, you see. I mean, these are facts which we have to accept, and then only we'll do something. We think incorrectly, we breathe incorrectly, we eat incorrectly, we sleep incorrectly, we talk incorrectly. I don't know what we are doing correctly. So he says, the peace of the chitta, because these obstacles are there, is also brought about by the regulation of prana or life breath. Even the faith in our breathing is now shattered because we breathe incorrectly, and there is a better technique of breath related to prana. And this prana is cosmic energy and not a mere mixture of oxygen, nitrogen, carbon, etc. in a certain proportion as we are taught at school or college. You see, all we are taught is mithya. All our knowledge is mithya. What we breathe is not only carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, but there is prana. No book tells us that we also breathe prana, that we can only breathe prana when we can breathe correctly. And if we don't breathe correctly, we can't take in prana. And if we don't take in prana, we can't think correctly, because there will be no extension and connection with chitta or infinite mind. Get my point? How many are doing three-step rhythmic breathing for 4 hours? Alright, next time I'll ask. All this means that we actually do not know what we are supposed to know in preference to what we actually know. Hence our knowledge is mithya. This is our ignorance in this land of ignorance. But we cannot run away from it, but live a proper rhythmic life faultlessly and let it flow naturally as intended by God and nature. Book 2-3 says, these are difficult producing hindrances. First came the obstacle. These are difficulty producing hindrances. Avidya, put comma. Avidya, sense of personality, desire, hate, and the sense of attachment. You know, first we are given the obstacles. Obstacles are individual. All may not have those obstacles. But hindrances the whole human race suffers from. You see? See the hindrances that are shown here. Avidya, ignorance, sense of personality, desire, hate, and the sense of attachment. Now, what is our incurable littleness? This body, this brain. We live by this body and brain. And what these hindrances are out of the body and brain. It has nothing to do with your real you. It has nothing to do with the infinite mind. It has to do with the body and brain. Since every one of us has a body and brain, these are for all of us. These hindrances are for all of us. The first is avidya, meaning we have not proper knowledge. Well, if we are unfortunate not to have proper knowledge, it's bad. But if we can get proper knowledge at that time, laziness, procrastination, tomorrow should not come in. The second is sense of personality. That by my long ego. The sense of personality. I. There was a small little poem in our school days we learned. I, Ozymandias, king of kings, look at my mighty works and despair. And the poet found what? Sand all around, and the neck was broken, and the whole head was fallen on the sand below. Look at Ozymandias, his head is on the sand. You see? So this is our personality, our sense of personality. One of the greatest kings was Akbar. At his tender age of 29, conqueror of 3/4 of India, having right to a life and death of any human being in his kingdom, was found by his mother one day sitting on the steps of the palace at midnight, sitting like this. And the mother said, "What's wrong? Why are you here?" Said, "Mother, all these I have, but I can't take it to heaven with me. I'm thinking what I should take with me when I die. All the kings are Ozymandias, but Akbar was thinking along this line. What will I take along with me, mother, when I will go? All these I can't take." You see? That sense of personality is Ozymandias, king of kings. Desire. Can any human being be without desire? It's difficult, no? It's difficult, no? To be free from desire, isn't it difficult? You should not have desire. The beauty is that what little we read, we misunderstand. Sense of attachment, desire. It's not that if you are rich or if you can afford, you can't wear good clothes, you can't wear jewelry, you can't eat good food, you can't move in a car. That is not attachment. That is not attachment. There may be attachment in most of us for these, but you can still have this, you can still enjoy all this without attachment. As Vishwamitra found Janaka, Sita's father. See? With a beautiful queen on his lap, holding her with one hand and the other hand in the fire. Vishwamitra saw only this much part and said, "Oh, that idiot, he is going to teach me." He is so much attached to his wife. Then he saw that the other hand was in the fire, and this did not pain and this did not please, you see. So you can have all this, but nothing should hold you. Nothing should master you, you see. Desires are alright. Attachments are alright. But with a sense of obligation, with a sense of duty, not beyond that, then it is alright. Otherwise you might go to your other extreme of running to an ashram. These simple words are not understood, and many have taken recourse to the other extreme, the give up normal life and normal obligations. And they then compare themselves with Buddha and Christ. The Buddha and the Christ are born perhaps once in many thousands of years, and they cannot like them give up normal life. They had each a message to deliver and much useful work to do for mankind. We said earlier that the physical body and brain is hiding a higher possibility or a higher state of being. This is explained by stating sense of personality. The man or the woman we see is not the actual man or woman. It is the outward covering. This intensely intelligent covering has its own weakness, desire, hate and sense of attachment. We are not yet convinced that the obstacles and hindrances are in the nature of this outward covering only. The real you is not this covering. As long as we do not experience this real you, one is not only in the land of ignorance, but one is ignorant in spite of all higher education. What knowledge or technique can expose this real you? What practices can help you to do away with this outward covering? All the philosophies and religions are only for this outward covering, which is to be set aside. And hence, religion, philosophy are that much unhelpful. How shall we experience this real you? Here we find, as in the onion, many layers, one more subtle than the other. Each layer is also merely a covering that is hiding the real you. But the layers of the onion are not as one more subtle than the other. This all is to be experienced so that we may experience not merely philosophy, or experience and not merely philosophize. Similarly, the whole universe we shall find areas where such subtle pockets on a vast scale do exist actually. These subtle pockets. These subtle pockets are the three universes are intermixed. The subtle penetrating their growth. That means swaha interpenetrating both, bhuva interpenetrating bhuva. Today we don't see anything. When we look into the sky for millions of light years, we see only the physical universe. We do not see intermingled the astral and the mental universe. We can't see because our eyes are not trained to see. If we see, then see what the poet writes. In the first, second and third, he describes bhu, bhuva, svaha. See the first three lines. Haunted by death and hoping still to live and glad to breathe if only for a while, then man was molded from the original brood. This is what we are in bhu. Now in bhuva, this world of bliss he saw and felt its call. He found no way to enter into its joy. Across the conscious gulf there was no bridge. See, as I say, we can see millions of light years into the universe. But we have not seen bhuva or svaha. That is exactly what he is trying to say. This world of bliss we saw and felt its call, but found no way to enter into its joy. Across the conscious gulf there was no bridge. Now comes svaha. Words are there nearer to those absolute realms, where response to truth is swift and sure, and spirit is not hampered by its frame coverings, and hearts by sharp division seized and rent. This is svaha. The knowledge that guides us and helps us to make us wiser and extricate us from this maze of illusions. The proper description is bubble. We call this existence bubble. Is yoga, and more importantly, Yoga Sutra, because side by side of exposition are practices that pierce through such subtle layers. But the purpose is not to create a new you. Remember this. But the purpose is not to create a new you. You are there. But let you know the difference between the false layers and the real you. We do not use the word soul, but say real you. A lot of unnecessary fiction is attached to the word soul. Just call it real you. And now, If you pierce this Bhu Bhuva Svaha, what will happen? When about to leave this land of ignorance, consciously, what happens? The mind absolved from life may come to know. The heart divorced from blindness and the pain, the seal of tears, the bond of ignorance, he turned to find that wide world's causes. Away he looked from nature's visible face, the hidden face, and sent his gaze into the viewless vast, the formidable unknown infinity, the real you. The real you is described as the formidable unknown infinity. That's the point now. This is where you have to go. And if you have to go through Bhu, Bhuva and Svaha, you have to go through them. And all the while your target is, till I see the real you. If this is your target, and if you have decided to go through all the practices, and if you have also decided that 365 minus 1 is 0, with that earnestness you are going to practice, that you will see the real you. And the outer covering will fall away.
The real you is synonymous with the divine fragment?
Yeah. But I will still not use the word soul or spirit. Divine fragment is also a fragment of the divine. We have used the word divine fragment.
We have been used to that word.
Yeah. And that is why I said the real you. You might think that you and the divine fragment may be different. But you, your real you is the divine fragment, the fragment of the divine. It does not matter. If you go through breathing practices, it does not matter if you go through other practices, it does not matter if you go through japa. Your target is there. Whatever the practice is there, then japa becomes your practice. You see, as any other practice, but then that earnestness, 365 minus 1 is 0. That earnestness must be there. With that earnestness and the target, I want to see the real you, you will be able to make a lot of good progress. But the Himalayan range is child's play compared to what you expected to do. To cross the Himalayan range is a child's play compared with what you are expected to do. Don't lose heart. Don't call yourself a sinner. Don't call yourself slave. Braga banda. You see, the minute you say these words, you separate God and you. You go into duality. Real religion is Advaita. There is no duality. So don't use these words, sinner, slave. You are not. Because you are not this body. If you are not this body, you are not a sinner. If this body could do foolish things, because it is foolish. It has to be guided. You get my point. You cannot call yourself sinner and slave. You are divine fragment. You are the real you, which is the same as the face of God. See? One day, a man complained to God that day and night I am thinking of you, day and night I am praying to you. I have not seen your charity towards me. So a voice replied, go out of the tent and see the footsteps in the sand. Are they yours? I was carrying you on my shoulder. We are so ignorant of our real you. You see? We are so ignorant of our real you. We think we are doing. We are doing hardly. When the voice replied, go out and see the steps, they are not yours. I carried you on my shoulder all the time. You see? We are unaware as to how much this real you wants to help us. But if we are deaf, nothing can help us. The worst thing is that we are deaf. And those who hear the rock master in the ears are still more deaf. How can they hear? So all this means that we are not without help. Help is always there. In fact, the real you is more anxious than you are to help you. But if you are too busy with your own thoughts, if you are too busy with your own likes and dislikes, nothing can help you. As I repeat, and I repeat again as I said, it does not matter what practices you follow. It is not necessary that only you do three-step rhythmic breathing. It is not necessary that you only do phase exercise. It is not necessary that you do only japa. Whatever that suits you, you take up. But then earnestly, earnestly, as if there's nothing in this world that is more important. All else is less important. With that earnestness, if you travel, the real you, you will hear first, then be guided, and then you will see. This very eyes will see that today cannot see. As you progress, you will see first the subtle world, then you will see the yet more subtle world, and then you see the subtle world and the yet more subtle world, so you will shake your head and say, now, which is the real world? First will come that, and finally will come the real you. Will say, come, come out of this mess, come to creation out of existence. That is how you will go. And the only written guidance is Yoga Sutra today. All else is Gupta knowledge. There is knowledge, but it is said to be good knowledge, and you will not be easily given. You will have to prove your worth to get that knowledge, whilst this is there for you to follow. It will only tell you how you must select your path and how you must go along that path, and how much earnest. That is very important. Question? Any question? More questions? Since you have all seen your real you. Otherwise there was even question. It's a good sign. So friends, we'll meet somewhere in December for our next meeting.
26.
Okay, and 28. Saturday.
Saturday.
Which Saturday you want? Any other will do? They are my friends, they are members. You have to come on Saturday. You must come this Saturday. He must come, doctor must come. No question? Okay. Go happily. Make a target. I want to see my real you. Make that target. I want to see my real you. And I will select my own way. That will be the second step. First is the target. I want to see my real you. And the second will be each individual can select his own way. The method that each one can follow. Otherwise you will say, those who are not in India, will never know Yoga Sutra of Patanjali and they will go to hell or what. No. There is always some way. But I have not found as clear cut a way as Yoga Sutra of Patanjali has shown. You see? It's a beautifully clear cut way. And it caters to all the temperaments. It has a broad outline for everyone. There is no bigotry here that you should do this and nothing else. And we shall see what are the different ways we can travel. We will see how comfortably we can remove the hindrances. We shall see how easily we can get rid of our obstacles and come first to the stage when we can leave the human way naturally without making any fuss or efforts or control. Then slowly we shall walk into the wonderland. Okay?
So we get that knowledge which is essential after death and before birth?
That is the whole idea. That part of knowledge is not known. That part of the knowledge can be known. This part of the knowledge, how can it be known? These are the answers and the questions that Yoga Sutra will answer. Because we don't want to give a promise after death. Because you are not going to come to me and say after death, you said this, it never happened. You see? So, these promises are in your lifetime. If some of the things that you are told, if you do earnestly, then you will do and understand and realize in this lifetime. The promise is for this lifetime. It is not after that. Okay? Thank you. Pardon? Pardon? Yeah, yeah, Saturday, those who want to carry out with the breathing exercises and phase exercises, please do come. Yeah?
I want to know what happens to those who need their covering due to some disease that will be attended.
What? Accidents.
Accidents.
What happens to those whose coverings are destroyed by accidents, diseases? They get new coverings. And there is an immense quantity available, endless of new coverings. You can take a million times. You can commit suicide tomorrow and get a new covering again, but you will not be free from the covering. You see, this is an exit from the covering. It is not freedom from the covering. What we are aiming at is freedom from covering for all time. It is not an exit. Exit could be natural, could be accidental, could be disease. We are not talking about exit. Exit means they are pushed out. Hey, get out. No. We want to be free. We say, I will live. You will not push me. Thank you. You see? To live consciously is not exit. We want freedom from all coverings, not exit from covering. Exit we have had so many times and we'll have so many times if we do not follow a certain path. You get my point? So do not compare exit with freedom. Freedom from covering. When we take exit, we have no freedom not to enter into another covering. Freedom means I don't want another covering and I will not have another covering. You get my point? Good. Seem to be all intelligent people
there.
There
are
huh?
Some people who
have
achieved freedom.
If they don't come back, who will tell you?
What?
If they don't come back, who will tell you? If I am here, how can I tell you what is Kashmir? If I have been to Kashmir, I'll tell you what is Kashmir. I can take you. Come, I'll show you this, I'll show you this, I'll show you. But if I have never been to Kashmir, I'm useless for you. So unless those who have gone.
Who has achieved the light? He is a free soul.
No, choosing is no obligation. If you have to, as I said, if you exist and have to take on a covering, then there are certain obligations ready for you. But if you want to choose to come back, you lay yourself that I choose to do this, 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 this. You get my point? Then, for example, we see Christ having a very sad end, isn't it? Now he chose this end for a purpose. For example, when he was carrying the cross, a very well-built, huge Roman came to him, he had become Christian, and said, I will put my shoulder. So Christ said, I can call 5,000 angels to my aid. If I want help, I will call. See? This is what is taken on. There are no obligations. They are taken on. He has taken on something, you see, because he is free to come. You see? Then all his entire life is his choice. You get my point? So, okay, thank you.
Thank you.